What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing.
You are what listening to What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
Ow. Ow. Shwam, shwam, shwam. Ow.
Happy belated 420. I think we recorded before 420.
Oh, yeah. Happy belated 420. What did you do?
Absolutely nothing.
You didn't, you know, puff, puff, give?
No, I don't puff, puff, give. But you know, everybody else I support that does.
When was the last time you actually smoked? Because I know you've hit the blunt, like, but I know it was like 20 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
When was the last time you hit the blunt?
No, I hit the blunt. It's been not maybe 20, but a good over 10, maybe 10 to 12. It's been a long time. No, I don't even know 10 or 12. No, that's a lie. It's been late, but like 15. I'll say 15 years, yeah.
Since the last time you hit the blunt.
Since the last time I hit the blunt.
And you ain't
never. I'm a good contact high, though. Oh, didn't I get a contact high at, shout out to Diva or Tremaine. And I got to respond, too, because they have another fish fry this summer. But yeah, I think last time I think at the Halloween party, Brandon was smoking. And I think I got a little contact. I got a little contact that night. Yeah,
it was great. Everywhere that night. It was
yes, it was.
I was like, oh my God. I think we ended up staying to like 5 that
night. Oh, yes. Yes. So we were like the last people standing.
Yes. Yes. I think we know how to do this party, okay?
Don't count me out. Just as I'll be out in them streets. When I do go out, I can stay out, okay? You will catch me on the side of the damn dance floor past that.
Never. Like, it has to be. Like, I was thinking about Miami, we talked about that last time, but it has to be like I got sick or something really. That we were talking about Miami and I did have that bad weed.
Yeah.
You know, that Miami. I don't know. I think he drugged me. I always think about that man. Like, I think he drugged. Like, I don't know. There's something with it that weed that was not regular weed, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, luckily I was there with you. Like, you know.
What would have happened?
Right.
He would have took me back to his place. Oh, because he picked us up from the bar. And I don't know what that was. That was not weed. But, you know, that's my
energy. Yeah, that shit had it that way. Yeah, he had that shit. He's probably used that shit before with somebody. I don't know. But anyway, yeah.
But, like, that night reminded me, some of my, like, have you ever watched the show, and did all our listeners too, May I Destroy You? Have you heard about that show? Mm-mm. It's about that girl. I can't think of her name. She's a British, Michaela Cohen. I can't think of her name. My phone not right by me. But she has a show on HBO called May I Destroy You, and everybody was upset that she didn't get nominated for no Emmys because the show was really good. But basically, the premise of the show was like it was based on her true story. Like, she had broke into the industry, became real famous because she had to show on Netflix called the Chewing Gum.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you remember that show, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The Chewing Gum. So she was on the show. I mean, I Destroy You. It's kind of like it kind of picks up where people know her and she's kind of famous and she's like hanging out with her friends. But anyway, she was hanging out with her friends one night, got fucked up, and she got raped or sexually assaulted rather. And so the whole show is basically kind of showing how she kind of navigated through that sexual assault, but also like remembering what happened and then just everything, like her reaction with her family, her friends, who she can trust, and really the effects of being sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And one thing about that show, though, what I loved about it was the realness. And I had to think about, like, it made me think about some of my nights, you know what I'm saying? Even, I think I have, you know, better adult, mature nights now, you know what I'm saying? I don't think I'm as wild as I used to, but it's been plenty of nights where, thank God I made it home. You know what I'm saying? Like, thank God that I had enough sense to like sleep in a car, or enough sense to sleep on the floor, or enough sense to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just thinking about that night in Miami, right? Like, that could have been, a night, you know, where I could have had that story. But, you know, even though I have that story, I am a person that has been, drugged and sexually assaulted, you know? And I'm not laughing. I guess that sounds weird laughing about that. But I'm just saying, like, I know what that feels like. And that was with friends. So that's always the interesting thing. But anyway, yeah. So May I Destroy You, if y'all guys do not, that show just made me be blessed of how many nights. It just reminded me how much we have partied in our lifetime, for sure. And made it out. We were just talking about at that ball in Detroit. We was all dressed up at the house and them gunshots went out. And so have you ever thought about like some of the nights that you made it back home and you like, bitch, if somebody knew that.
Yeah, nothing but God, like nothing but God. Cause some nights I'd be like, I don't remember how I got home last night and I drove. I don't remember which direction I took. I don't know, I don't remember nothing. And I got home. So yeah, no. And then even me, always falling asleep. You know what I'm saying? Like I always fell asleep. So it was almost like I was a target. Have you ever seen that movie, Ma?
I never did watch Ma. I remember you went on a date to watch it, right?
Right, I was on a date with her, but that movie was funny as hell, okay? It was a comedy to me. It was not scary, it was a comedy, it was funny as fuck. But it was a girl in a movie, and to avoid being drunk, she always would act like she was passed out. So she would, every time all the kids would get together and Ma would invite them over to get drunk, she would just be on the couch somewhere passed out, acting like she had got fucked up. And it just made me think about she did not drink. She was making herself seem like she did drink. So she act like she drunk too much and passed, but she didn't drink anything. She was just avoiding drinking, but she wanted to be in the mix of everybody who partied, I guess, to act like she was cool because Mom was getting them all fucked up. But yeah, I always think about her. When I think about that, I'm like, that was, when I looked at her, I'm like, oh my God, that was so me, but I was really like drunk. I wasn't faking it. But yeah, no, I think about that all the time. That's the horror stories that a lot of people have gone through in situations like that. And, you know, for me to have not ever experienced anything like that is a blessing.
Right. You can't take it for granted. You can't take it for granted. Like being in abandoned houses, abandoned, like some of the places, I just always think about like some of the places we were like thinking we were safe.
Right.
We were not safe. And I just think about like, you know, I just hope. So all the listeners, you know, yes, I still party, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm just saying is just make sure you are, I don't know, there's no infomercial about it. It is what it is, right? Like some people, you know, we like to party, you know, but I would just say, you know, be careful if you need to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, just be in consideration of where you at. I would say that.
Yeah, you always have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, not to cut you off, but you just always have to be careful. Because remember that story, I don't know if you heard that story about Eve with Janet, but Eve was at some awards show and somebody had drugged her and she started flipping out. Like, oh my God, somebody drugged me, oh my God. And Janet like went to her like, okay, you don't have to worry, I got you. You're with me now, you're okay. And she kind of took her arms because she was flipped out. Like, somebody trying to get me. Like, you know, this
that
is shit a fucked
up real.
Shit. Yeah.
Why do people do that? Like, because even go back on that show, right? So after the fact that she had found the person that had raped her or sexually assaulted her, and he was a serial drug person that was drugging the girls and doing that. I'm just like people are really out here drugging you. Like you have to, like I said, I'm a person that didn't think that somebody would do that. You know what I'm saying? People, it's just like, why do you want somebody to be inebriated to have stuff? I don't understand that. Like, I've never had like good sex like that. I hate when I have sex and I start spinning, my head starts spinning and stuff like that. I'll be still trying though. I'm like, let me get it in, let me try that, but it don't work.
Yeah, no, I don't understand that either. Like, I don't understand it either. It's a psychological thing, gotta be, because like some it's a new fine one that they got all these charges up against a football player. I'm like, you're fine as hell.
What the rapper, the Lil Mosley, Blueberry Faygo. The only reason I know that because of Detroit, I'm just like, wait a minute, who's thinking about Blueberry Faygo?
Okay,
so I know that who he is because of that song, because it reminds me of Detroit, Blueberry Faygo. But I think it's about lean. I think they say Blueberry Faygo is really good with lean. So that's like, can you imagine? First of all, I don't even want nothing. I know we didn't even check in, but first of all, I don't want nothing. I tried lean one time. That shit is not for me. It is not, like, people just be on these drugs and like, girl, why would you want to be like sleepy? I just don't understand. Like, I guess it's no judgment, but I just ain't never understood why somebody want to be sleepy. My eyelids was so heavy. I was like, it was like hurting just to open them up. Like, I was literally like,
oh, like that time you was dead over May He Rest Shannon House. Oh my God. And that's exactly how you was. And I'm like, Tyreek, like, is he alive? Like, what is going on? I don't know what the fuck they had, but that's the type of weed that they would smoke, because they all would get like that. And they just be around each other. I'm like, oh my God, we went over there one time, they was like that, and we left. We was like, oh, hell no, we was not staying.
I remember that night. That was, I think, because, you know, a lot of people think, because I smoke a little weed now, sometimes every, you know, people think, that I still have a very low tolerance of weed. It's always been, I don't know what it is about my chemical makeup. Weed would never be something I could just casually do. Like, I have to prepare myself. Unless I'm in house, it's late at night, all I'm going is to bed. I cannot smoke at all during the day. Like, anything, I gotta do a life. It has that effect on me. And so even back then, like, Emerson was there for all of my, because I didn't smoke on a regular. I did not. That was not something I could do. And so I remember that night we was over Shannon House and all of them. And I'm laying on the porch trying to get some air, passed out. I could hear y'all talking to me, but I couldn't respond. Like, I was like zoned out. Mm-hmm. And I hear you like, Tyreek, and you was getting mad. Like, bitch, I'm gonna need you to be interactive. Like, girl, you scared me. Like, you didn't say that, but you like, bitch, what is Roach?
Right. And that's not like me, because I always get angry, but I'm really concerned. Like, no, y'all need you to say something to me. What's wrong with you?
And I remember hearing you. And then I remember saying I need to go outside because it was so hot. We was in that basement. Mm-hmm. And then, but what it was, they was smoking out that bone.
Yeah.
And I can't, that was just too much weed for me. I just cannot do that. I just can't. I don't know how people be just, I'm gonna smoke and just live my life. Now 420, you know, like I said, even edibles. Anyway, yeah. So check out May I Destroy, you guys. And I guess the whole point of this is it can happen to any of us at any time. You never know if somebody try to drug you. Like I said, like, I got drugged, didn't even know, right? Like, all I knew was my booty hole hurt and somebody told me. I'm like, oh, girl, what is going on? Like, this is a setup. Like, no, girl, why would you do that? And it was a whole plan. But anyway, if you want more about it, you can find it in my book. But anyway, Emerson, you'll check in, girl, because I checked in last time.
Oh, first last of all, we didn't go into check-in. We didn't say what time it is. You know what time it is.
Oh. You know what time it is. It is time to what? Check in. Well, I've been off a week. You had Kristen Dior last week.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm glad you're here to remind me.
Yeah. Can you get me hosting?
Oh, yeah. I did forget that you said that. You were trying to get me to do that. You were trying to, like, remind me on the sly.
Right. Because I'm like, well, I'm not even set up right. I'm just...
Well, yeah, I guess you want me to check in first then?
No, I'm fine outside of this. I just needed to have hosting. This week I'm going to do a different check-in because ain't nothing going on over here. Like I told Mr. Teltos offline, but the rent, same old, same old. So I don't...
How much is your rent a month?
Huh?
How much is your rent a month?
Excuse me. My business. It's my business.
Is that an inappropriate question?
It's enough. I think it's an inappropriate question how much your rent is. I mean, it ain't, yes, I think it's an inappropriate question. I guess Publicly it is. Now privately I wouldn't have a problem, but publicly I just be like, my rent's at... No, I don't know why it's not like it's, you know, it ain't $500. Not, maybe if it was $500, I'm like, it's $500. And then you hear all these people trying to move into my apartment complex. Okay. No thanks. But yeah.
You were like, bitch, wait a minute.
So this week, because the Oscars was yesterday, right?
Yeah, the Oscars was last night, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a fashion review. That's going to be my check-in. Oh, my God. So, and I'm going to share pictures. And let me see. I don't have one of everybody. I normally only do people that I like. So
yeah, I didn't tell the people you don't like, too, though.
Well, no.
So welcome for us. Welcome to the Oscar fashion recap with Edmonton from Essence of Style. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Essence of Style. Let's go.
That was so corny.
That was I was trying to be like Nina.
Okay. Well, you were horrible, just like her. Can you see?
Yes, I can see. Oh, I thought she was really cute.
Okay, so yes, this is, of course, Regina King, and she was wearing Louis Vuitton. And interesting, I thought this dress was cute, but not in this picture. This last night was interesting to me because I felt like a lot of people's pick, they had like two different pictures that worked and didn't work. And she was a picture, this one here to me did not work, but that one does. So this is the
press.
Yeah, right. That's the picture, and that's the picture she has on her page too. So I think she knew that one worked. But yeah, that right there, the picture I think is everything, or the dress is everything. I love the look. That's the one I like. The one
it's
on the
really
red carpet.
Pretty.
It is. It looks way better right there. And just the color of it, it looks really good with her skin tone. It's really, and the detailing of it, even on Louis Vuitton, like on the Instagram page, they show how they made it. It was very intricate. And yeah, I think it's a beautiful dress here, but on the red carpet, I don't know if it was the lighting. And then, like you said, it was, she had worn it and probably, you know, it got a little more wrinkled. And the lighting, I don't know what was going on. Were they in LA? I don't know what, was it gloomy? I don't know. The lighting just seemed like it was off. I don't know. But Regina King, I did like her dress here. Next one, I'll show you.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Well, but see, I think it, again, if the picture is bad, her titties are lopsided. I just think it's not a, about? Huh?
Who you talking about?
You can't see it?
I can, but our listeners can't.
Oh, I'm sorry, Viola Davis. I'm sorry, I forgot. You're absolutely right. We're talking about Viola Davis. She had on a white dress. Hold on. I don't remember the label, so I got it on the side. Hold on. It's Alexander McQueen. Mm. And it's a cute dress. It's right here. I just think I don't like it here. Like, it just, the look and her, the lopsided titties, I just wasn't a fan of it. Like, here, I was just, But then here, it looked a little better to me. I think her picture is just better. This is E! Online, by the way, too. So E! Online took some good pictures, even though it might seem a little awkward, but it just looks a little better to me. I think this is just a way more flattering picture of her. E! Online took some really good pictures. And yeah, so here I think is better. I wouldn't say, Vogue says she's one of the best dressed.
How? And it's plain looking dress?
Well, I think it's cute.
For the Oscars?
I mean, it's simple, and I'm not really a simple girl, but I do like the way that it's it's like origami, that the cut of it, I forget the name of it, but the way that it's cut, I think it's cute. And I like white. I wouldn't say they necessarily best dressed, but I think that right here, I just like her better right here. I was like, oh, okay, look at Viola. So yeah, Viola Davis and Alexander McQueen, I wouldn't say necessarily best dressed. But I didn't want to talk about her and just the difference in these pictures. Because I'm like, girl, what was the red carpet giving, honey? It was just not giving what it's supposed to give, honey.
She's giving me Real Housewives of Atlanta destination trip. And they all got to get dressed to go out to eat dinner on the beach.
Oh.
she's giving me like I'm on vacation and this is my evening dress to wear on the beach. That's all. I don't see anything Oscar about it. I mean, it's a nice dress. but it's just too, it's too beachy. It's too, I'm just showing up. I'm cute for the night. This is like an after, to me, this reminds me of like the Hollywood Reporter after party. You know, you have an after party after the Oscars.
Yeah, but normally, I think those dresses normally look better than the red carpet dresses to me. I think the girls normally, they normally come out like, those dresses to me always just look better when they wear them, like the E! Online or the Vanity Fair party they have.
Yeah, Vanity Fair.
Yeah. I forget who's next. We'll see. Okay, yeah. Now, this dress, I think, I do agree that this was my best dress. I do think the dress is wearing her. Oh, and let me say who she is. I'm sorry, listeners. I always keep on messing up her name. Her name is Carrie Mulligan, and she's wearing Valentino. And I like the dress. I think it's wearing her, though, and she's not wearing it. But I think, I mean, just from the front to the back, even standing in the back, you can't see it here, but from the back, I think it's definitely a pretty dress. And I think it's for somebody with her frame, the shape that it gives her is everything. Or, I mean, not that she's that wide, but I think just the shape of it is everything. I like that it's so like ball, princess, you know, Belle of the Ball type of a dress, but then it's, you know, just sparkly and gold. And yeah, I'm here for it. I agree that she was one of the best dressed. Mm. Oh, okay. Well, Miss,
I mean, it's a split. It's the, I think the bottom half is cute. I mean, it's cute.
Go ahead.
Maybe some better earrings or something. I think the dress is pretty though.
Well, yeah, I think the dress is the star. Like I said, the dress is wearing her. She's not wearing it. Like,
An Oscar. But yeah, in a good way. She's cute. She does look cute, but this picture looked like, girl, is it time to go?
Well, these pictures on the red carpet, I don't have one of her on E! Online, but these pictures were not the greatest, in my opinion, on the red carpet. None of them. Nobody's talking about her. And I think this was cute. I think with her braids and her hair, she's pretty. I like the chain going down the middle of her her titties or on her chest. It's not like over the top, but I just thought it was cute. And this is Tierra, what's her last name?
Thomas.
Yeah, Tierra Thomas. She won an Oscar. Oscar winner, Tierra Thomas. And I forgot to get what her outfit was. I don't think probably nobody cared because nobody thought she was best dressed, but I was like, well, she... cute. I think she was cute.
I actually seen her on a lot of best dressed lists. Well, because I was on her page. So she posted a lot because Nina Parker, who we were talking about earlier, the E, they was just like, oh my God, she is gorgeous. The diamonds down the chest. And well, okay. So I went to her Instagram page and she posted like in her story, you know what I'm saying? I saw different people talking about it.
Oh, okay. Well, she's not on Vogue's best dress. Not that so they didn't say anything. And I didn't see her on any of the major fashion, not like Harper's Bazaar or any of the other ones. I didn't hear them say anything about her. I'm on her Instagram now because I'm trying to figure out who it is that she's wearing. And it's Joanna Louise Benoit. I'm pretty sure I'm fucking that up. But that's what she's wearing. I thought she was so cute, and I think she's beautiful, and I didn't know E! Online gave her props. I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I was like, why ain't nobody saying nothing about her? This was really cute. But yeah, shout out to Tierra Thomas, and congratulations, girl, on your Oscar win, honey.
Your Oscar and your Grammy win 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Girl, I forget who I got
next. Girl, you want her to write a song, they're going to have to start getting checks.
Okay. She better get to the bag, honey.
Get to the bag.
Now, nobody's talking about her, and I'm not saying she's best dressed, but I thought this was cute, and it don't photograph well here, but when she was on, she got some behind the scenes on her page, and like in the right lighting, the dress is just life, because it's like all the lights sparkling off of it. She's like walking glitter, and I love sparkly glitter. Right here, again, it looks like a little wrinkled, but I think her titties, they are sitting just perfectly. I like the hood, it almost looks like hair. I thought it was cute. She had I forget hers too. Hold on. Ralph Lauren. She wearing Ralph Lauren. So I thought that was cute.
I mean, it's a beautiful dress. She's beautiful. I would say it looks like something I've seen her in before.
Yeah, it does.
That would be the only thing. But she looks beautiful. I love, you know, I mean, Janelle Monáe. I don't know if you said her name. Did you?
Oh, I don't think I said her name either. Not, I keep on forgetting to say their name. I'm sorry. Well, this is Ashley. Well, that's why y'all need to go ahead and just watch us on Facebook. Okay. So YouTube. Come on Facebook if you don't, you want to see what we're actually talking about, because that's where the action is this week.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful dress. She looks good. It just seemed like something. I already said it, like, you know, okay, Janelle. You're pretty
She good. Has worn something like this before. I'm pretty sure she has, but I still thought, you know, it was still cute. And then, you know, in the light, in the right lighting, it just all the sparkle is just gorgeous. It's just a walking drama. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Zendaya, I believe she's wearing Valentino, and she was paying homage to Cher. Everybody's saying this is best dress. And it's definitely a look, but it wasn't best dressed to me. It wasn't best dressed to me. It's not a bad dress. And again, I because she's paying homage to Cher, I get it. But I feel like she looks like she, like, my thing is, if you're going to pay homage to somebody, you should at least be able to step to them. Like, I feel like Cher still lets you have it with her, the dress she had. Like, it's similar, but I just didn't, it wasn't best dressed to me. She don't really look bad though, but it, to me, it just wasn't, I don't know, it didn't really do it. It was just like, okay, it's a yellow dress, you know, and she has, you know, it's a yellow dress, and she's giving, you know, it, you know, in the right wind, she would definitely be giving a moment, but it wasn't best dressed for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think this should even be nominated, like, for best dress, honestly. It's cute. We're talking about the Oscars. It looks more like a Grammy music night out type of event. I think she looks gorgeous. And I think the reason why I don't think she looked as good as when I was looking at the pictures comparable to Cher is because I felt like she should have been bone straight. I feel like the wet, curly look to it kind of makes it look a little disheveled, which is probably the look that, you know, a lot of people like, that disheveled, not too perfect look.
But yeah,
the way that Cher wore this 30 years ago with that bone straight and mug was looking like a porcelain doll, like with no, like her mug, I don't even like the Cher dress, to be honest with you. But the mug and the hair with that dress was on point. Now, Zendaya is beautiful, right? There's no denying that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could have gotten, I think it's the hair for me. If it was bone straight, I would have went up more, because that's what, like, Cher just looked so good. Like, she just looked like a cover of a magazine when she was dressed 30 years ago. And Zendaya just looked like a pretty girl.
I agree.
She's giving me the same dramatics. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't, you know, no shade to her. She's beautiful. It just wasn't my best dress, or even on a list to me. Another one. This is her, and she's wearing Dundas. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm probably fucking it up. D-U-N-D-A-S. She is Dumbo's best dress. It's definitely a moment. It's a lot going on. It's a lot of fabric. But I think, of course, it's supposed to be like that. And the color is beautiful. It's a beautiful purple. I think the color's beautiful. I think she looks pretty. I don't know, though. It wasn't necessarily best dressed to me. It's a moment, though. But it wasn't really best dressed to me. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if it's maybe because she wore, like, the pants type of deal, and it's Oscars, but she don't really wear dresses like that, so I guess I'll let that pass. And then Tiara didn't wear pants, you know, she had on pants too, so I can't say that, but I don't know, it's okay to me. It's not whole, but I didn't think it was, like, when I saw it, I didn't, like, it was like, oh, okay.
Okay, Oscar award winning her, you would be worst dressed on my list. Just don't like nothing about the dress. Don't like the hair. Like, I mean, it was her moment. It reminds me of the Grammys. It reminds me of something like that a little bit. It just not, like, I would like to see her in a different element, you know, in this musical night, you know, you're this Black woman nominated for, you know, Song of the Year. you know, this is your moment. You're about your mother. I just want to see her because, you know, she's just been killing it in award seasons, right? The last couple of years. So I'm just really interested to see her to really walk into that light. And this is a moment of all this fabric, all this hair, all these sunglasses. She's just not giving me Oscar-ish. She's a beautiful girl, of course. Yes. Like, there's no denying it. The dress is nice. I feel like Glenn Close should have wore the dress. Oh. Not somebody in their 20s. Not somebody that's hot and sexy. It's giving me not even rich auntie vibes. Maybe like, you know, well-established auntie vibes. I don't like too much. It's too much material.
It's auntie, not rich auntie. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. Well-established auntie vibes.
Yeah. So congratulations to her. I don't remember who's next. We'll see. Okay.
See, this is hot.
Yes. Okay. Because I think yesterday we talked on the phone, you were saying something like, I don't think like you liked it. But here's my thing with this particular right here. First of all, the color contrast with that blue background, light blue background, that teal rug carpet with that red dress with her eyeshadow, that the coloring here is everything. Like, I'm like, this is just a picture. And they photoshopped something out of this picture too, because what is she sitting on? You really can't see. Look like she's sitting like on air, because you can't really
see. Angela. Hey, Angela, girl, this is for you.
Oh yeah, Angela Bassett. I forgot to say her name. But anyway, this picture is a moment. I just love the coloring of it, the way she's sitting, like, and the way that they did like position and style the dress in this picture, like, and she's like well into her 60s. I know she pissed off a lot of certain group of women last night. This picture particularly I just love. Maybe not the dress was okay, but I think this, to me, I was just like, this picture is everything.
I mean, I agree. Just looking at this picture, Angela, like you said, she's not 50, she's 60, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, to be just whatever, 50 or 60, to have the body that she's given in this picture, it's giving me Oscar dress, right? It's giving me formal, but it's giving me sexy. It's giving me, you know, bone straight, long hair. It's giving me dramatic makeup. It's giving me, you know, and I think for her, you know, I just think about, we just watched her and she had all these clothes on looking like, you know, then we turn to Angela, who was old enough to be her grandma probably. And she's given just a little bit more, you know, a story, right? Like, you know, and I just, Angela, again, I don't know what the whole dress looked like overall, but this is a good picture and I think it works. I can't remember. I might've not liked the whole dress, but this picture is serving it.
Yeah,
it's the legs and a split for me.
Yeah, it's everything right here. It's and the dress is Alboretta Ferretti. And I wouldn't say, like, I have the picture up. I don't know if I can even change it now, but I do have the picture up, but I don't think, because I would have to stop and share it. But go to her page. It's on her page, on Angela Bassett's page. I think it's Angela Bassett. It's on her page. But she was voted one of Vogue's best dress. The dress is kind of but right here is everything. So yes, work it, Angela. She let a lot of the girls have it. I did not. Halle Berry was on the best dress list for Vogue, and I don't know why. I think this is it. This is it. Yeah, this is 10 of 10. So yeah, these are all the people that stood out to me. Of course, there were other people there. There's other people that made best dress. I think Amanda Siegfried, I think that's her name, she made best dress. She had a red dress on. It was pretty red, but there was something about the cut that was weird to me. But I mean, a lot of the people that was favorites or best dressed, of course, if I didn't show them, I wasn't feeling it. So that's just what it is. And that's my check-in.
Okay, check-in.
So hold on.
I don't even know how you follow up with a check-in that's going to do the Oscar red carpet, right? I don't know. So, I mean, I guess just keep it on the theme of the Oscars. My check-in would be based on watching the Oscars, you know. So I am a thespian. Everybody know I love theater and I love acting and stuff like that. So every year I try to watch like all the Oscar nominated movies and stuff like that. And just, it's just a thing that I like to do. So the Oscars, it was a big old uproar last night, of course, because Andra Day didn't win or Viola Davis didn't win. But Frances McDormand won. And my thing is, I watched Nomadland. I actually watched it twice. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the story about homeless people or a nomad, or people who just travel the country without having to, like, they don't have any responsibilities, right? They live out their van, you know, they just do odd jobs and they just travel, they live wherever, go wherever, do whatever. I just think that's interesting, right? I don't know, you know, I know that, and, you know, the movie did explain, like, the loneliness of it and what they have to go through, the discrimination of people not understanding that they want to live their lives the way they want to live it. They don't want to be a part of the system. They want to be off the grid. And so I just thought that was to be interesting. That was very interesting of a story, like a movie that we haven't seen before, a story that we haven't heard about. And then to know that the Chloe, who was the, I think Chloe Zhou, but yeah, Chloe, she was the director. She was a woman, and she was the first woman, the second woman to ever win Best Director. And she was of Asian descent, but she had did so many years of research, you know? So it just, for me, I just was like, I'm not upset that they won, but come on now, Audra Day, I really did thought she had in her bag, but she got a Golden Globe out of this. So you can't be mad. She will always be a Golden Globe winner. So she's not Oscar, but Golden Globe. That's not nothing to cry about. Daniel won from Judas and the Black Messiah. I think he was really incredible in that movie. That movie, that was another movie I watched twice. So I was so happy that he won. Of course, her and Tiara Thomas won for the song from that movie. And with another movie that won too, a short film called Two Distant Relatives, that won Best Short Film. And it was basically about a Black guy who kept getting killed by the same police officer every day. 100 times. He kept waking up to the same dream. It was only a 32-minute movie, so he kept waking up every day to get killed by this police officer. There's nothing that he could do. He tried to talk to the police officer. He still ended up getting killed. He tried to go another way. Like, he just, you know, so it was really that dynamic of all the ways that you can be get killed by the police type of thing. And yeah, it was like, we'll call it Oscar bait. So it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course, that is a hot button. But the writers and the producers behind that were queer people. So it was like another queer guy won an Oscar. So I'm always down for that. You know what I'm saying? And I thought it was a really great short film. It, for 30 minutes, it had me like, well, damn, you're gonna just keep killing him? And all he wanted to do was go home and get to his dog. So I think it was a really good film. So it won an Oscar last night. So I wasn't upset about, you know, most of the wins or whatever. I can't think of anybody else who was, you know, Tyler Perry got his overall award, you know, so he's eating it up. I hope people checking in on Monique right now, because he ain't got a Golden Globe and an Oscar and child. So everybody, you know, she thought she was just the only one with an Oscar. Tyler like, no girl, I got an Oscar too. Now what's up?
Okay.
See me in the back. Meet me at the back of the runway.
Okay.
We're both Oscar award winners. So, yeah, check on Monique Evanson. I know you be usually checking in on her every so often.
I'm sure she's fine somewhere talking about Oprah.
And so, yeah, I just want to really talk about, since we on entertainment, if y'all are not watching Snowfall, I don't know what y'all doing with y'all life. I know I've mentioned it on the show before, but I've watched the season finale, and that show is just incredible. That Damson, he is just the finest thing walking. And if you don't want to tune into him every week, I don't know what's wrong with you. And that's my check-in.
Okay. Well, guys, watch Snowfall. And what is that on? That's on Netflix?
Netflix. But you know Netflix? No, it's on Hulu. It's on FX.
Oh, FX.
But FX okay. Has the Hulu thing too.
So okay.
FX on Hulu. Mm-hmm. So, Evanson, so you really had a good topic today. That I think is really interesting, because as someone who, especially in this virtual world, with dealing with work politics or work etiquette, or, you know, having to be social at work, because so before we even dive into it, I'm gonna use last Friday as an example. So one of my jobs, I'm a peer support specialist, certified mental health peer support specialist. So I, you know, I have clients throughout the week, but every Friday we do a peer development where all of us come together. We, you know, talk about clients, we talk about caseloads, you know, we just talk about different things. And we also do that. Yeah. So we do every Friday. So on my team, it's a few of us that are of color. It is a few of us that are not. So we're kind of a mixed crowd. But it's a particular peer that lead, it was her week to lead. And she started off the conversation with that. I want to, you know, with the, because I think it was just, it was last Friday. So I think, I don't know if it was the trial. It was something that had just happened. Maybe Dante Wright, something had just happened. She was like, she wanted to hold space to talk about, you know, what was going on, you know, what was going on with everything. So it's another peer, I love them dearly. They keep it real. They have been really my mentor in this work, in this mental health work. And with her turn to talk, they were like, I'm not really interested in this. I don't feel like talking about this. I don't feel like why people always think this is a conversation that people want to have. I'm just trying to drink my water and survive. And I'm not here to really engage in this conversation. You know, people think that because, you know, people of color is on, you know, involved, that this is something we want to talk about. Like, you know, maybe, and she didn't say this, but I'm thinking like, well, maybe you should have sent out a Google, a doodle poll to see if that was something that we wanted to talk about before you just thought that you were going to save space. Now, the person did it with good conscience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it was any malice in that. But, you know, we're on a Zoom call. We don't know what, you know, every Friday, I don't know what the peer development is going to be, right? I don't usually lead them. And so, then you get ambushed with having to have that conversation, which you already processing it. It's your everyday life. Is you already right. So I didn't say that I want to come and talk to about that with my coworkers.
Right.
And so, Ebethan, what is the topic about today? So I feel like that was kind of like a good lead in. And so I was gagging my pearls. I was gagging because I was like, oh, but she just let her have it. But she did it really nice and she did it really professional. And I didn't fault the girl for trying to hold space for us because maybe we did want to talk because another person did want to talk about it. So another person of color did want to talk about it. And I wasn't I wasn't where they were. Like, I couldn't talk about it, but I basically was like, it's too much. You know what I'm saying? I was more so that. It wasn't that I was about to use that moment to just, you know, get into my feelings about it. I was just like, it's just, you know, some things ain't gonna never change. You know what I'm saying? I was giving, you know, those 2-3 pointers that, you know, us Black folks always have to say.
Right.
Ask that question. So what do you think? what is the topic about, basically, with that being fair?
Okay, so pretty much I was watching a live the other day, and or not a live, I was watching a YouTube video as per usual, because you know that's my TV, I'm trying to find the title of the video. But pretty much she was talking about when you are her whole thing was like, the title of it was not Office Politics, and I can't find it because I've watched so much stuff since then. But anyway, in a nutshell, the video was just talking about office politics and how, you know, at certain jobs or jobs, this period, they try to force you and make you be a part of, like, you know, talking to other employees and having conversations in the break room and going to potlucks and going to, you know, team building events and stuff like that. They make that part of the job. And she was saying that I don't go to work for that. She's like, I don't be wanting to have conversations with the people at work about their miserable lives, because they're always having conversations about stuff that they sound miserable, they're unhappy, and I don't want to exchange energy with them. So she was like, I didn't talk to the, you know, she was like, the other girls at work, they be talking about dumb shit and they hair and they white rain and all this type of stuff. She's like, I didn't want to talk about that. So she was like, you know, the boss noticed it and was like, oh, well, you know, you're not a good fit with this, you know, at this place or this place of business, because you pretty much, she ain't say that because you don't socialize, but because she was supposedly anti, you know, she wasn't a good fit. And that hit, that hit a nerve with me, just because that's something I don't know if I've ever been directly just told I was let go of a job because of that. But I know that, you know, I've been fired from Marshall Fields when it was Marshall Fields.
And, Marshall Fields.
Yeah, when Marshall Fields was Marshall Fields, I got fired. And it was a couple of reasons why. But, you know, it was crazy because I wouldn't get their damn credit cards. But I think there I was to myself, I went to work to work. I go to work to work. I just go to work to work. I don't really go. I have gone to work and made friends, though. I have people that I still, you know, we talk every now and then on Facebook and stuff like that, that I did build friendships with at work. But if it's an environment of people that I know I don't mesh with, I just don't, you know, we could be like charade, we could be cordial, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to be fraudulent. And, you know, like my job right now, they want me to be all in the chat and chat it up. And they talking about, like I was telling you offline, BTS, I don't listen to BTS. I don't, you know, have any cats. I don't watch cat videos on YouTube. What am I supposed to, engage. What am I supposed to talk about? Or how am I supposed to engage in that conversation if you want me to be fake? And I think that it's something a little, I want to say WS, if you know what I'm saying, or white supremacy. I think, no, white supremacy plays a part in that, that they try to force us to, you know, assimilate ourselves with them. And I feel like sometimes we just, you know, we like, okay, well, we dislike you. We just don't really have anything in common and we're not going to force it. We just, hi, how you doing? Hello. That's it. But they be wanting you to tell all your business, who you slept with last night, what you and your husband ate for dinner last night. I shouldn't have to share that. If I come to work, I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm, you know, hitting my numbers or whatever measures I'm supposed to hit. I'm hitting them. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for their job. Not, why am I being punished? Because I'm not fraternizing or socializing with associates outside of that, or I'm so busy doing my job, I don't really make time to talk to associates. And that's a bad thing. Like, I'm like, well, I'm actually working when people are actually in the chat doing their thing. I'm working. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But you want me to talk and talk about cats or talk about odd videos that y'all watch on YouTube. I can't do it.
I mean, I've been in those situations and like with work and like community and organizations and just in space, right? Because I find lots of time, especially like being in Austin or just really in, you know, in a most, unless you work at an all black company or with all gay people, you're always like the gay one. Or in a lot of times the black one, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you like live out loud. And so my experience has always been, depending on the job, specifically like work, is that, like you said, I'm not interested in the topic. Like I feel like I am a very friendly person, right? Like I can engage with strangers a lot of times, but I have always felt like ostracized in a lot of my job. They're not like because it was something that they particularly did or something I particularly did. It's just that we didn't have nothing in common. Like, you know, like some jobs when all the you know, I remember working at Seton, you know, where the guys, it wasn't even that many guys, but the guys want to talk, they're going to be talking about girls, they're going to be talking about, you know, pussy, they're going to be talking about this and that. And of course, I can, you know, like, but like, no. And then the same thing with the girls, you know, they want to be talking about hair or what they, you know, it always pisses me off when girls that you work with think because you're gay that you want to have those kind of conversations. What their hair look like, or what they wearing, or what they man, and all that. I'm like, and I don't like to say it about. I know I've said so many times, I'm not that kind of gay, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way. Is that like, okay, you're gonna learn today that we ain't all talking about the same stuff. Like, don't put me in this gay box. And the same thing with black people. I mean, white people with black people, they put you in this box. Like, this is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about being black. Like, I don't want to talk about being black with you.
No, I don't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why is that a topic? Like, why do you want to know what's going on? And I remember with Seton, remember I worked with that white lady, like one-on-one. And it would always be these uncomfortable conversations. Like, she kept trying to have these uncomfortable conversations, trying to make herself comfortable. And I'm like, well, let's not do that. Like, we don't have to be that close. We could be close.
Yeah.
Without being that close, I don't need, like, she would be telling me all her business, her husband, her kids, her in-laws, and then start asking me questions. I'm like, I'm not telling you shit.
Yeah, no.
I don't trust you. I don't trust people like that to be telling my business to. Not like, not at work, not like that.
Yeah.
No. Like, most of the time, it's like when it comes to white people, they're not going to understand. Because then when you say something, then you have to keep, then you have to explain that one thing you said. Then you have to explain that one thing you said. Then it's like, bitch, I feel like I'm teaching you what it is to be black. I don't have time for that.
No.
I don't care what it is to be white. I just don't. It's not interesting. Oh. I'm not, because in a lot of times, I feel like eventually they're going to say something racist. I don't think I've ever worked with a white person that has either subconsciously or, you know, not subconsciously or, you know, said something racist. don't think they can help it. I think they're going to say something that's going to offend me. And I don't know what the, I don't know how to avoid that. So I try to avoid it without having those kind of conversations. But I feel like they always want to have uncomfortable conversations to make themselves feel better. And I just, I don't be here for it.
Yeah, they try to force you to have those conversations. Now, I can't say like, well, no. Well, yeah, no. I can't say most of my managers, they haven't, no matter if they were another race, I don't think in one-on-one conversation, they never said anything that was like, they said something racist. So I can't say, I give them kudos for that. They never say anything, but like, bitch, you know you shouldn't have said that like one-on-one. But I'm like, oh girl, I'm about 5 minutes away from reporting your ass. But no, it's never been anything like that one-on-one. But I do think that, and I can't say in the chats, they don't really go there either as far as like Black stuff. But you do remember like after the whole situation with the snowpocalypse and then like the whole situation now with the murders of all these people. And, you know, you tell me something, you told me about somebody, what, yesterday they got shot by police?
Yeah, today.
It's today.
Right now.
Yeah.
He got shot last Wednesday, but yeah.
Okay, so yeah, but I don't, they don't, but what I don't, I kind of sometimes, it's almost like, some people do say this, they're like, well, Black people, you know, people who has, you know, a whole lot of Anglo friends, well, Black people, what is it that y'all want? Y'all don't want them to do this, but you don't want them to do that. Because it's like, okay, I don't want to have them uncomfortable situations, but you can acknowledge the bullshit that going on, just leave it at that. It's some bullshit going on. Okay, at least you know it. Now, what you going to do about it?
That's my thing is, why do we need to give them a bullet point to how to react on the social status of the world? Because they are a part of it.
Yeah.
And my thing is, stop asking me, you know, or are you okay? Well, I'm so sorry. No, I'm sorry for you that you're, you know what I'm saying, with your ignorant asses, okay? Like, don't be sorry for me. When this is not about some kind of sympathy or, you know what I'm saying, because I'm Black and you're white. And so I don't like that shit. I don't like that either. Yeah, like, bitch, I'm holding space. You hold space for yourself and about how you need to do better, or your people, or your cousin, or your grandma back in the country that you know is a racist bitch. Don't save space for me and with this, you know, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Because this shows okay? how disgusting y'all are. It doesn't, it's not a reflection on me, it's a reflection on you. So I just don't like the narrative. I feel like the narrative in those spaces is always that, like you said, that we're just so sensitive. And I get it, you know, we talked about that before about a lot of stuff, but we're not sensitive because we doing shit to ourselves, or that, you know, because we already talked about how the hood and shit we do in the hood, we feel like we got 10 lives, you know, like they don't have that same mentality. But when it comes to other people inflicting harm, or, you know, racist stuff and all of that, y'all need to be sympathizing with y'all damn selves. Like, don't be trying to save space for me to show you how, you know, cry and how it's hurting me. Because if you ain't hurt, then it ain't helping you. Because why should I be hurt? You should be the one hurt. Tell me, did you cry last night when you saw that white man killing those Black folks? What did it do to you? Why are you asking me what it did to me? You can fucking see what it did to me. The issue is, what is it doing for you? You know, I just can't stand those conversations. And, you know, and I get it. They want, they like you said, and I feel like I agree with what they said, that they don't know what to do. Fix it. We don't know what to do either. Why are you, we ain't the ones shooting y'all, or whatever it could be, you know, harassing, being racist, whatever the situation, you know, or homophobic. So it didn't even got to be a Black thing. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
I just said about the Black girl, stop trying to make me gay like that. Like, girl, if I ain't came to you and said your hair was cute, I don't care what your hair looked like. And I don't care what products you got in there. Find somebody else to have that conversation with, not me, you know. But how do you have those conversations at work? So with you, like, I feel that way. And most of the time, I feel like I'm on TV, because I would engage with people, but it'd be like, if it was a camera, I'd probably feel what I really feel. But what I really say is 99% is not going to be what I really feel. So it's always that, like, if I could just turn around and look in the camera, like, this bitch had the nerve to say that shit to me.
Right.
But that's not what's going to come out. How do you think you engage with those? Like, you say, okay, so your boss is telling you, you're not engaging enough, but you seeing these people here talking about cats and bitch, you don't have a cat, don't want a cat, cat stink. Do you just say, I don't like cats, cat stink? Is that appropriate? Like, if
they- of course, no, it wouldn't be. And according to like the video I was watching, it wouldn't be. If I said that, then I'm a problem. You have an attitude problem. You are an antisocial. You're a mean person. You're rude. Like, and that's what people in the live was saying. Like it was live when she originally recorded. And they were saying, they was like, when you tell the truth or you say, you be like, oh, well, no, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to eat Karen's cooking. Oh, you're a rude, horrible person. And they keep on and you're punished for that. Mm-hmm. So, and they'll punish you. You'll always be known as you office politics. Oh, he has a bad attitude. I remember one of my jobs, I think it was one of my stints back at Target. And somebody was like, a manager just trying to force me to engage with people. And she tried to shame me to do it. Like, oh, somebody was asking me, well, what's wrong with Eric? Why does something have to be wrong with me? Because I don't want to talk to you. Why am I the problem?
Right, like, why are you talking to me?
Right, why you could be the problem. That might be the reason I don't want to talk to you. Like, but I'm the problem because I don't want to engage. And what it comes off as is I have an attitude problem. I don't care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do care about stuff, but I'm just keeping it cute. Y'all, I come to work and do my job because y'all want me to do everything around this motherfucking store. So clearly I do something right. So let me just come to work and y'all act like I'm gonna allow y'all to pull me in 50 million directions to go home and collect my check every 2 weeks. I don't need to be talking or getting caught in back room talking in these huddles of people about that. Why? I just don't understand that. Because y'all, what it really means to me is you just want to know my business. You just want to, you're trying to figure me out, but I'm not allowing you to deal with it.
This one job with Kristen Dior, it was this couple, this lesbian couple that worked there, right? So of course I was one of the gay ones. And so they were really trying to like be cool, but I really didn't like her, right? I just did not like their energy, that, you know, so I'm like, okay, yeah, we both gay, but like, girl, no, right? Like, yeah. y'all do too much, y'all lazy workers, y'all don't show up, y'all make it bad for everybody else. I'm not your friend, you know? And so they would like be trying to have all these conversations, like they would catch me, they'd be like, you know, they want to have all these gay rights conversations. I remember one time we were sitting there, and they just brought up like they suing a dentist because they dentist said some that they dentist didn't want to service them because they was gay. And I was like, well, what, you know, I'm asking. So I got interested because I'm like, okay, that just seems so absurd. Like girl, like, because they had already, everything with them is because they was lesbian. Like the boss is fucking with them because they go together. First of all, the boss not fucking with y'all because y'all go together, because you ain't supposed to be fucking going together anyway. So if y'all together, ain't nobody fucking with y'all. You should be fired. So it ain't fucking with you. You know what I said? But it was just, they made everything a gay issue. They'd be like, oh, we couldn't go to work today because, you know, we gay. You know, we could, it was just so annoying. I'm like, y'all are lazy and irresponsible. Don't put that on being gay, right?
Yeah.
And so they stopped disliking me. They were telling people that, you know, that they didn't like me and da da da. And then they were a different ethnicity as well. And my thing is, we just didn't have nothing in common. You know what I'm saying? It's not that it was like, I didn't like them for one, because of their work ethic. Not personally, I didn't like them. Dislike them, but it was their work ethic. But two, we just didn't have nothing in common. Like they thought that they were fighting for gay rights. Like I'm, you know me, I'm mental health, HIV. I'm like trying to talk about some real shit. You trying to conjure up some shit that your dentist didn't want to say. Like no facts. Just, you know, you try to make it. Like them, they the type of girls that wanted a lawsuit. Like, you know, that they was looking for somebody to slip up. And so they can sue and get some money so they didn't have to work. You know what I'm saying? And so we just wasn't cut from the same cloth.
Okay.
No, and we just did not like each other. They didn't like me for the longest and stuff like that. They were just trying to start all this drama. But my issue was, I never treated them no kind of way. I just didn't want to engage with them. I did not enjoy our conversations. I didn't really like them, but just because we were gay, they wanted to talk about gay stuff all the time, but then like, not the kind of gay stuff my black ass go through. Y'all talking some privileged gay shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking, you know, I want some real conversations. We're gonna talk about some shit, you know, like, girl, how many dicks you take last night? I mean, like, if you ate, like, girl, what are we talking about? The dentist? Like, I would just, I don't know. And so I feel you when they, and I feel like, so I got called in the office. So I did get called in the office and said that I was, because I did tell somebody I didn't like them, but I was called in a hostile work environment. And I'm like, how am I caused in a hostile work? I mind my business. I don't want to be friends with them. They keep trying to be friends with me, but I'm causing a hostile work environment. And I told that right to my boss. She laughed, whatever. But I just thought it was just so funny because it goes back to what you were saying. Like, I don't have to be social with people to get my job done. Or, no. And I can pick and choose who I want to socialize with. But you know how that goes. But devil's advocate. So what do you feel about, like, especially in jobs that are, like, customer-facing or customer service-based or just anything that takes team building? How do you feel about, like, those little exercises that you have to do before meetings and icebreakers? How do you do icebreakers?
I cannot stand icebreakers. The day when I worked at, like, the Hood Target back in Detroit, it wasn't in Detroit, it was in Livonia. But back then, when we would do stuff together in the morning, you know, we would, in the morning, we didn't have huddles and stuff like that, but we would talk, and then we'd have our little Mountain Dew that we had in the file cabinet. We had a little Mountain Dew that was like our little liquid crack, we called it. That type of stuff, but we didn't do corny stuff. It was just kind of like we couldn't work, and we would, hey, you know, and we would talk about stuff. Maybe we ghetto. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the people that I'm around. But if we don't have nothing in common, or, you know, I don't know. We just come from different sides of the railroad tracks. It makes it, those icebreakers and stuff, I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Like, I've had really good relationships with a lot of different coworkers. It's not that I don't believe it, in especially being like in mostly in management, right? Like, employee morale is important. So if you do have, because I know, because it, so it goes back to what you were saying, like, so even now in like one of my job, I don't want to give too much information, but I have one employee that might not be as open and, you know, in communication with the other employees, and they always, but da-da-da-da.
Oh, there you go. Still recording too.
I'm sorry, y'all. I do not know what's going on with the internet.
Well, at least it's still recording.
Okay. So what was I about to say? Oh, so I have an employee that the rest of the employees always like, but they always standoffish. They don't speak to me. They don't da-da-da-da. And I'm like, but they minding their own damn business. Like, leave them alone. Like, leave them alone. Like,
that'd be my thing. Leave me alone. Why do I have to, if I'm not bothering you, you just want to be nosy. You just want to know my business. You just want to know. A lot of times with me, they just want me to confirm that I'm gay. Bitch, if I am, so what? You want me to tell you whose dick I sucked last night? Like, girl, that's what they be really wanting to know. Mm-hmm. Like, girl, I wouldn't have a conversation with you. Know what you know, but I'm still not having a conversation with you. I said, dear, I need boyfriend. They be wanting to have this type of conversation. Girl, I am grown as hell. I'm not having no type of conversation with you. Get over it. Get out my face and get out your feelings, because I don't talk to your ass.
Yeah, they be on her, and I'll be just like, you know, but at the same time, like, devil's advocate, right? Like, I don't like the fact that they, because then people do start treating you differently, like that. Yeah. Comes the outcast, and they're trying to get, you know, somebody trying to get that person fired, or they're not, you know, good for the team. And so that put pressure on like management to have to try to figure out, you know, why they're not working well together. Because it is like, with one person not mesh, it does make, you know, unfortunately, because like you said, people need to know that, you know, be all intermingle one another, right? And so it does mess up with the kind of the team atmosphere.
I think it's because the team, though. I don't think that's fair, because my thing is, it's only messing up the team because you want to be nosy and you want to be all up in my business, and you're mad because I don't talk to you. So you make it awkward. I don't. I'm okay with coming to work and just saying hi, hello, and just working and doing my thing. I've been in environments where that worked very well, but I get in one with you and you want to be all about my business and you want to know what I did last weekend, what I ate for dinner. And because I don't tell you, then you want to get an attitude and you start telling the manager, like you said, and it does make them have to do something. I don't think that's fair. I think that's where it stops, where it's like the manager like, well, if they don't want to talk to you or if they're not conversing with you, just, you know, I would just leave them alone.
But they make it bigger. Or like, so yeah, they do wrong and now it's magnified.
Yeah.
Like said. So it don't just, yeah. So you kind of nip it in the bud around that. Oh, they, you know, they work in silo. They do the, you know, let them do their own thing. But then they start highlighting those things that could, you know, be attributed to them working in silo. Oh, well, they forgot to do this. Like they would say something, I could have handled that. Or they forgot to do this. If they, you know, open up their mouth and did it. So now you're in a position where like, okay, well, some of this stuff could have been avoided if they were more of a team player. You know what I'm saying? If they have more eyes on it or more, you know, things on it. So it does put the employee in a bad situation like that.
Well, just depends on what type of job you have. Because if you have like, or with other employees, it's through notes and stuff like that. I don't really have to direct. So I think depending on what certain jobs, yeah, like I would never want to do a job where my job was based on a group. Ever would I want to do something where we was a team and we all were new. That would not work for me at all. Unless I knew them. Unless I knew you. If I know y'all and we got a vibe and we got a little thing going, but if I don't know you and it's weird, we don't really have anything in common, I would be the one they would probably get rid of like they did old girl on the YouTube channel. Like, you're not a good fit.
Okay. We're going to find your replacement. Mm. See, I just think that's interesting around like the force to be social at work, the force to be in these situations, especially as a person of color, around what's going on every day. Like, I don't want to talk about it every day. Might not want to talk about it at all. And I know they want to save space. Like, we talked about that. But again, so you got to deal with that. You got to deal with being in conversations that you might not even want to be a part of. You got to deal with people you might not even, don't even like. And the best way to control that dislike is to keep a distance. But you know what I'm saying? And that can, it don't even have to be a job that's team building, right? Like, it's just, that's just how it is. Like, and I hate the icebreaker, like you were saying, like it's all the time. I think it doesn't even work. It doesn't even work. It's so made up and it's so fraudulent.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to do it. So yeah, I just wonder for our audience, like how much, you know, forced socialization in your work or your field in the work that you do, or even having to socialize with people that's in your field that's not even at your job, like to validate them, like, you know what I'm saying? Like those conversations, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because somebody do something, they're known for something that you need to care about what they're doing. I don't care what you do. I don't care, but for some reason you should care, right? You should reach out to them or you should want to work with them. I'm just like, why?
I used to hate?
That's the work culture.
I used to hate, one thing they used to do at Target is when they had those, and you know, because you used to be one of the higher ups at one of those type of stores, mm-hmm. and you have somebody coming to visit. We're getting a visit. And then you would think this person was the closest thing, you would think, to God or Jesus. It's like Jesus was coming to town. Like, oh my God, the whole store got to be clean. You got to do this. And when they walking around and they being all fraudulent, and I'm like, oh. And then they come around you and it's like, you're supposed to like do something extra because this person, see, I don't give a fuck. Like, my thing is, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then that should just be enough. I'm not about to do nothing extra. Like, oh, I remember ours used to be the Diane. Oh, Diane, she's coming to the Diane. I don't give a, is it Diana Ross?
Right, man.
Okay, well, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, and she, I'm looking like Karen. I don't care if she, I'm doing my job. Girl, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You see me come to job, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not about to do nothing extra. Like, oh, I'm sitting through my job. I'm doing this. And you see what I'm doing? Okay. My job, in my job description, that's what I'm doing. Okay, girl, I ain't got to do nothing extra. I'm not about to do a cartwheel, a backwards flip, and kiss you in your ass when I'm done doing it. I'm not the bitch. I'm not the bitch. Never have been, never will be. I used to hate that.
I can't stand a motherfucking brown noser. But people just so comfortable with being brown nosers. In my age that I am now, I am still amazed about how people are really just positioned to be brown nosers and clout chasers. I'm just like, why do you feel the need? Like, I always feel like that you must not be living up to your own potential. If you need someone else to validate you, you need, you know, like you said, this boss to make you feel special. Like you said, if you're doing your job, why do you need the brown nose? If you, your manager, or again, another person in another field, like just like you get on these calls, oh, so-and-so is going to be on the call. So, okay, I'm going to say, hey, you know, just like I would say, hey, to anybody else. What, right. I mean, what they paying my bills. Or fucking, we about to fuck or something? Like, what else am I going to get out of? Why am I impressed by what they do? I can enjoy their work. I can enjoy who they are.
Yeah,
but, you know, that brown nosing, ass kissing, clout chasing shit is never been me. But I feel like that's a part of work socialization. Like, to get up the ladder, you have to brown nose, you got to kiss ass, you got to be friends with the right people and all this kind of stuff. And I just, like, That politics is just, it amazes me. I can understand maybe a teenager, or maybe even college age, but when you 30-something years old still kissing somebody ass or trying to kiss somebody ass, I'm going to look at you sideways. It's going to be one of the moments it ain't going to come out, but in my head, I'm going to be like, girl, you don't love yourself enough.
And they be the main ones that do it. Those people that be working for a job for 20 years and they never got promoted. And I'm not judging because I did my job and I ain't been promoted, but I don't do that. But they be thinking, oh, well, maybe if I see, in my example, I see Diane, she'll see me working, I get promotion, and they be doing all this shit about to have a damn heart attack. What are you doing? Why are you running around this store like a chicken with your head cut off? What are you doing? I gotta sit up there and I gotta get this. You need to calm down. Girl, I'm doing my job like I always do. You about to run and fall and trip and run or fall over what they used to call them, U-boats. And now you about to trip and you about to fucking have an accident and have to call the fucking ambulance before Diane even get here because you trying to her to see you and you think she's magically gonna give you a position or a raise. Girl, get the fuck out of here. I can't believe people think that way. Like, why?
On every level, though, right?
On every level.
Like, if you, you know, people slide in a deal, you know, email. Let me. I'm gonna email the corporate. I'm gonna email that. They don't want your email. You're not gonna be looked at. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and it's not that I'm not against people being ambitious. You know, or
no, I'm never that
going after it.
Never but
go after it based on your own merit. Yeah. Like, you don't need people to validate you. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of work politics and work socialization comes for people who needing to feel validated. Like, yeah, they're not enough. Like, they don't validate themselves enough. You know what I'm saying? I see it all the time. Like, at work, like, every, you just see the people. And I'm like, I'm not doing all that. I don't give a fuck who they are. They wipe their ass and brush their teeth just like the other. And if they rich, if they gonna give me some of the money, because if they're not gonna, if I'm not gonna get none of the money, why do I need to kiss their ass based on their payroll, on their check? I don't get none of that check. You know what I'm saying? I believe in doing, like you said, excellent work, doing your job, going up the ladder, doing what you need to do for yourself. But a lot of the issues that come with work and socialization is clout chasing and kissing ass. People just need to be seen or heard and stuff like that. Like, let your work speak for itself, baby girl. that's the big part of it. And I can't stand, so I'm on this council, and this is one guy on this council, like, the perfect example. Like, to talk just to hear yourself, you know, to hear yourself talk. Or to be seen. I can't stand that. Oh. Like, I don't need you to, like, you are on a call with a lot of intelligent people. We didn't need that breakdown. Maybe you needed to tell yourself what we were talking about. I didn't need you to define that for me. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't need it. But you felt the need to hear yourself talk, or you wanted yourself to feel more important, or, you know, validated, you know, that you want to take our time to try to teach us something that we already know. And it happens all the time. And I just be like, Why do people need to do that? I just don't ever feel that way. I'd be quiet. I could be the fuck up. I could be the one that's not, you know, the one that
pays. But you're not it though. You're a person that does just lay back and kind of do your thing and people like you and you do move up. I'm the person that they be like, well, they don't want nothing to do with. Like, I'm like, bitch, what is wrong with that bitch? Like, that's me. they do not like it. I've had bosses tell me, oh my God, when I met you, I just knew that I was just like, oh my God, it's so hard to get in, get to him. It's just so hard to get through.
You that person.
I'm that person.
And we know you ain't kissing no ass.
I did what I was supposed to do today.
Okay.
That's my thing. I did what I was supposed to do. And if I did fuck up, like you just said, now I do feel I'm that person. If I fucked up, okay, I'll be honest. I could have did that better. I fucked that up. But you ain't going to catch me up here like, well, shit. I mean, you want me to FaceTime you and send you some pictures or something? Or maybe, I don't know, come through, suck your dick. Just, right. You know, to get, I ain't that bitch. Like, okay, I fucked that up. Or, you know, and we
can. I'd rather do that. It's like now my fat is gonna be some fluid change or something, like all that. I mean, if it ain't none of that, I don't give a fuck. I just really don't. And like trying to be in the in crowd and all that, that's just never been my stilo. Like, who needs to be in, who, first of all, who is the in crowd? And I always wonder about it at work, like, who y'all do the same shit, you cash the same check, you and the thing. So who is the, what is it to be popular at work, particularly, you know what I'm saying? Like socially versus the, like you said about your work performance, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like a lot of people get caught up in people who they think is like popular or successful and all of these things, but I just feel like it's low self-esteem. That's how I look at it. And I see it all, like, I could just go down every job or every organization, every panel, every council, every child. You always see the one like, oh girl, she don't love herself. And I think that's because that they come up in, with that work ethic like that, that they have to impress people for some odd reason.
It does work in their favor sometimes too. And I know I used to be on a team with this girl. She was clearly gay and I was gay and our manager was gay. But you know, I'm not at work with a sign I'm gay on my thing. It's just, you know, if you think, you know, if you recognize I'm gay, you just recognize I'm gay, but that's just it. You know, that's it. That's right. Nothing else. But he was clearly trying to perform and, you know, say all the, you know, the like a Real Housewives stuff and all the gay lingo. And I mean, and I'm just sitting like, and it did work for him though, because he was like the teacher's pet. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he was young, and I felt like he used to try to stay a little shade to think like I gave a fuck. And I'm thinking, baby girl, you don't know me. I don't give a fuck that you got this Anglo man laughing at you like you are the clown performing for him on stage. I can give a fuck less. You can have it, bitch. I don't perform on stages and act like a clown to get validated by white people. Ho, how about that? But I couldn't tell her that. And if I would have said that, I would have been fine.
You They would have sent out an email of Eric Epstein. Right. That's how you know they give it, when they send out an email when somebody leaves. Right. That's how they really give it in.
Yeah.
Because I've done that, like, bitch. If people leave all the time, but I really don't like you. As of Friday, September 3rd, so-and-so is no longer with the company. Like, bitch, you getting an email. Everybody know you was let go, bitch.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I've read those emails before.
Yeah, as you notice, it'll be for everybody. If you ever notice that, I ain't been in one job that don't even, like, it's supposed to be, but you've been in some jobs like where that email didn't go out, you know, for whatever reason. You know? But you know the one that they really don't like, bitch. The email, they was escorted out at 12:01. The email was going out at 12:05. Like, but they ain't even got their car yet. You already sent it out with this email.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, of course it works in their favor. So let's be clear, like brown nosing and like that whole work ethic around, like, you know, trying to be the popular and, you know, looking, want people to, in a lot of times, where I don't say it always, because sometimes you always know those people. I know the brown nosers, they the turn off. Those are the people that you don't hire. Those are the people you don't want to work with. Those are because they do too much. Like, girl, we all doing the same job, you know what I'm saying? Or y'all all doing the same job. And so I don't need you, again, unless it's some, oh, I'm about to say some sexual harassment stuff, so never mind, I'm not gonna say that. So I don't need you to overcompensate yourself. You know what I'm saying? That is so fucking annoying. But in a lot of cases, it does work. You know, like people do, you know, sometimes they're, I've been in a situation where I felt forced to like give a person an opportunity just because they got on my nerves so much. You know what I'm saying? So it can work, but I've also been the opposite. Like, bitch, you wouldn't, girl, you barely holding on. And they could be a great worker, but they are so annoying. They're socially awkward, because I think being over the top is socially awkward as well. You know what I'm saying? The people who just do too much at work, always in the manager's office, always trying to talk to the boss, always trying to send an email out, always trying to be in charge. Well, I can take the lead. Girl, I didn't ask you to take the lead. Like, can Sue get the lead, Beth?
Okay.
You always want the lead.
Okay.
You know, or you want the overtime. Sue got 4 kids. And you ain't got no kids, but you want all the overtime. Go sit down somewhere. You getting on that?
Yeah. I used to hate them ones too. They would like all the at Target, all the team leads be upstairs, and you see that bitch up there performing for them, trying to make them all laugh. I'm like, what, girl, your raise is still gonna be 10 cents. Bitch, get okay. your ass downstairs and do some fucking work. You doing okay. this for what? Now, maybe if she was trying to fuck one of them, that would have been, like you said, that would have been different. Like, if you're trying to get one of them, like, okay, well, you trying to flirt and everything, I get that, because, you know, they used to be fucking off the, you know, clock. But I'm like, girl, you doing this just because you think you're going to get some type of brownie point, or your raise is going to be high. It's not. They're going to keep using you and pay you 10 cent raises. That's just how it works.
And they'd be like, I'm sorry, I wish I could give you more.
That's what, yep. Yeah. Like, I just wish, but it's just not in the budget for us to be able to give you more. They're just not allowing us to giving us that flexibility.
Yeah. Girl. You got the highest one. Bitch,
right. Right. That's how they get them though. You got the highest points though, as far as the point system go. You got the best raise, like the highest raise, and they go around, I got the best review in the store. Oh, okay. What that check looking like?
Right. Oh my God, that is so funny, because I had to do that so much at Walmart. I just used to feel so bad, like, you know, like, girl, because at the end of the day, it's still within, if you working there, you got to give them a raise, right? You can't give them, you know, and if they yeah. still got their job, they just as, you know, equally qualified as the person who do all the work to get the same amount of raise. Unfortunately, that's kind of goes back to it. Like, you doing all that, you know, kissing ass to be in the same position as the other person. They're no bigger or better, you know, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so work, social, politics. So I would love to hear more about our listeners' issues at work, because I know this topic, I got like at least 12, I got stories on top of stories about
this. Would be a great like interaction, because it was, when the video I watched, it was this, the comments, I'm like, oh my God, like I just thought I was the only one. So this would be something great that we revisit and actually have some interaction. Oh, that'd be so bomb. I would love to hear the stories.
Okay. All right. Well, Emerson, how the folks don't be able to get in contact with you if they got some stories to tell you?
Y'all can find me on Essence of Style, where I hang out on Instagram, or you can go to essenceofstyle.com, my website, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's always open. That's my digital home. I am on Facebook. I am on TikTok. On TikTok, I'm Essence_. I couldn't get my name. Some little girl who doesn't use her profile, or somebody got the name and they ain't doing shit with it. I think they're trying to get somebody to pay for it, but you know, I just use Essence. But anyway, I'm on TikTok. I'm on Twitter too, but I don't be in your house. So yeah, just find me on, you can always find me on Instagram.
And you can find me at Mr. Telltales across social media. My OnlyFans is Mr. Telltales Back at Ya. No, I'm sorry. It's Mr. Telltales From the Back. That's a hot day, though, ain't it? Mr. Telltales From the Back.
Oh, that actually is hot. If you think about it, like, oh, okay.
and all of that good stuff. Yes, 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 yes. And so, yeah, next week after the new announcement, What's in America is going to be teaming up with a very credible entertainment company, I guess. So I can't wait to announce that. Well, it has to be next week on the podcast, but it'll be out tomorrow on Mr. Telltale from Western America Pages. So, boom. Holla.
Holla.
Oh, engage. So, yeah, so we really do want to engage. Emerson is doing some good stuff on our Instagram page. So, yes, we're going to probably, we should go live from Instagram too. Not to do a video, but to keep this conversation going, because I want to hear more about people's work experience. But anyway, what works for us on Instagram? We will be very active this week. Holla. So many different ways we can make it or make some money. Fuck a New Year's resolution, make your own solution. Goals are meant to be broken. It's all about the execution. Leave the negativity behind with the retribution. Time to deuces if they ain't talking about your evolution.